You are listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshi on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
Get to people, yeah.
What are you gonna
gonna do?
Do you really think that?
Do you think it all? Yeah.
Our government cares about
they
you.
They ain't giving up a second thought about you. No. Ghetto people.
Who you gonna turn to next?
Tell
ghetto
me. With your life
running like a red disease,
running like a red disease. Ghetto people,
stop giving up yourself.
Stop doing what you're doing to yourself. You got to learn to love yourself. Ghetto people.
You are listening to African Perspectives, where we view the issues of our day from an African worldview and African centered perspective. This program is unapologetically African. It is a custom in the African tradition to ask elders for permission to speak, having been granted permission. To our ancestors, whose shoulders we stand on, to our elders, whose shadows we walk in, I greet you, my dear brothers and sisters, in the language of one of the greatest civilizations on this planet. It gave the world the basic disciplines of knowledge of science, math, architecture, music, writing, law, religion, you name it, we did it. The Greeks called it Egypt, but they called themselves Kemet, and Kemet means land of the blacks. I greet you all in the Kemetic language, the word of peace, Hotep. It is truly an honor and a privilege to pour libation because we truly do stand on the shoulders of those who came before us. We're going to use water because water has no enemies. Water is the great cleanser, the great purifier. Everything on the planet that lives, it needs water, from a tiny microscopic organism to a tall redwood tree. We pour water into the earth to invoke the spirits of our ancestors, and we say the word Ashe, which simply means so be it. So we pour this libation to God for all that God has done and for all that God will do. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to Mother Africa, birthplace of all humanity, everyone who has lived, everyone who will live in the future. We all have a common ancestral root in Africa. We pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. I mentioned Kemet in the opening. Kemet was the height, the apex, the zenith of African high culture. But there were others as well, as Timari, Punt, and Nubia. So we pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa, of Ghana, Mali, Songhai, Benin, Great Zimbabwe, civilizations that were flourishing and growing while Europe was in a medieval or dark age. The University of Sankore at Timbuktu, an outstanding educational institution. So we pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to the Maafa, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the Infakani, the great tragedy, uprooted out of Africa. Our brothers and sisters lay a carpet along the Atlantic Ocean. We're in North America, South America, Central America, and throughout the diaspora. So we pour this libation to our brothers and sisters who suffered the Maafa, the Infakani, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the great tragedy. We pour this libation in their honor and in their memory. We do not know their names, but because of them and their sacrifice, we are here. So we say Ashe. We pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement. If you ever heard me do a libation, you will know that we were not slaves. I repeat, we were not slaves. We were captives. What does a captive want to do? Get free. So we pour this libation to all those men and women who fought against enslavement. In fact, I maintain that some of us are more of a slave today than we were in our initial captivity, because some of us are a slave to vice, to corruption, to drugs, sex, and violence. So we pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement: Gabriel Prosser, Nat Turner, Dingmark Vesey, Harriet Tubman. We always resisted. And we will always resist. So we pour this libation in the name and the honor of those men and women who fought against our captivity. We pour this libation to those unborn, those young men and women who will once again lead us back on the stage of human history as a free and proud and productive people. We sashay. We pour this libation to brotherhood and sisterhood, together for the union of family. We need each other. We don't have good family life. There's a saying, conditions shape conduct and consciousness. The conditions in our community are bad. The conduct towards each other is not good. Because why? We lack consciousness. And consciousness is more than just awareness. Consciousness is a deeper understanding of who you are historically, who you are culturally. So once we begin to understand the importance of brotherhood and sisterhood together for the union of family. Brothers and sisters, let us all say, Ashe, Ashe.
You are listening Ashe. To Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at Time for an Awakening.
Good. Good morning, African world. I almost got stuck there. Good. Good morning, African world. You're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. And I am your host, Brother Oshie, Hotep family. Hope you're well today. Hope you had a great weekend. Hope you had a chance to do all your things you want to do, what you wanted to do, should do, might do. Man. Apologize, brothers and sisters. Let me try that again. Hope you had a great weekend. Hope you got a chance to do all the things you wanted to do, should do, must do, can do, and will do. And I hope the weather was accommodating for you to do it. But of course, if it wasn't, I know this past Saturday definitely wasn't here in the metro Atlanta area. All kinds of hailstorms and, man, hard rain and so forth. But hey, if it has to be done, you'll get it done. And you'll do it safely. You'll do it safely. Brothers and sisters listening to African Perspectives, we're here every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., 10 to 12 Central, 9 to 11 Mountain, or 8 to 10 Pacific, or any other time around the world. But if you cannot listen to this program live, you go to the archives at timeforanawakening.com. At the top of the page, you'll see podcasts. Click on that. The drop-down, you'll see African Perspectives. Click on that, and there will be programs that are dated and titled, thanks to my good brother, Brother Kwaku. Other programming that we have here on Time for an Awakening. Once again, this program is every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. All times are going to give our Eastern times. This evening on Mondays from 6 to 8, Acres of Diamonds, public affairs programming out of Philadelphia with Brother Jahad Ahmed. That's from 6 to 8. Followed by from 8 to 9, Black Therapy Central with Dr. Mawia Kamban and Nataki Kamban. And then from 9 to 10, Conversations, Reparations with Brother Jamoke and Sister Lacey. On Tuesdays, Black Reality Think Tank with Dr. William Rogers from 8 to 10 on Tuesdays. On Wednesdays, Black Farmers Report, the Black Farmers Report. It's a new program. I suppose that aired last week, but it's going to air this Wednesday from 8 to 9. If it's Friday and it's 8 p.m., it's Time for an Awakening, brothers and sisters. Time for an Awakening every Friday at 8 p.m. with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. Saturday from 4 to 6, Sister Talk with host LaWanda Chambers. And then from 7 to 9, the Elders Council of Sankofa. Sunday at 7 p.m., Time for an Awakening again with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard on Sunday at 7 p.m. And the number to call is 215-490-9832, 215-490-9832. We Buy Black. We Buy Black, the largest online marketplace for American African-owned businesses. Get everything you need from American African-owned businesses from WeBuyBlack.com. Once again, if you go there, these are products that are produced by us. Also, too, they are seeking donations, seeking contributions to establish a supermarket
here in the Atlanta area. It shouldn't take this damn long. It shouldn't. I don't know, brothers and sisters. I might scream and shout today. I'm just in a mood. I'm just in a sad mood or angry mood. Africa for the Africans. Brother Bomani Tahima was on the program last week after he came back from Senegal and Gambia. And next month, May 24th to June 5th, he'll be in Ghana. And then in November 18th through the 29th in Tanzania. And then my good brother will be in Ghana December 24th to January 5th, 2022. And then once again in Senegal and Gambia, April 1st to April 11th of next year. Africa for the Africans. Everything you need to make it a trip of a lifetime is on that website. But if you want to see pictures, go to facebook.com/Bomani. If you want to see videos, go to youtube.com/Bomani2007. And if you want to give Brother Bomani Tahima a call, give him a call at 404-931-9429. That's 404-931-9429. Africa for the Africans. Baba Rinoko Rashidi has a program upcoming this weekend, The African Presence in Early Asia. It starts Friday at 8 p.m. Eastern Time, and then again on Saturday morning at 11 a.m. Eastern Time. It costs $25 for the program for both days. I'm quite sure if you know Rinoko, you will see undeniable firsthand information, because he is a primary researcher of pictures and so forth, documenting the proof of African presence in early Europe. African presence in early Europe. He has an educational tour going to Ghana. That's going to be July 18th through August 3rd. He's traveling with Professor Small, Professor James Small, and Dr. Lynn Jeffries. He also has a tour to Kemet, July 31st to August 13th, going to Kemet. So give Baba Rinoko a call if you wish, or go to drrinoko.com. Drrinoko.com. His phone number is 323-803-8663. That's 323-803-8663. Drrinoko.com. Habesha Incorporated. Habesha stands for Helping Africans Establish Schools at Home and Abroad. The great work that they're doing. They have a program too, Repatriation Initiative. It's a step-by-step program, training program, 12-month program in Ghana, you know. So give them a call or go to their website, HabeshaIncorporated.org. HabeshaIncorporated.org. All one piece. Okay, and of course, you know, they have a number of programs. They have Habesha Works, Black to Our Roots, Sustainable Seeds, Golden Growers, and the Urban Green Jobs. And of course, the Kashi Project, that is going on in Ghana. And of course, if you go to HabeshaIncorporated.org, you will see the work that is already being done. Already being done. That repatriation piece is going to be something everybody should really check into. HabeshaIncorporated.org. Wadada's Healthy Marketing Juice Bar. Oh, wait, let me finish before I go to Wadada's. See, that I'm a little disjointed because I'm just, my mind is, I apologize for that, but damn it, I am. Land for the Environmental Development of Group Economics, the Ledge Group. Brothers and sisters, go to theledgegroup.com. Also, too, they have a safari going to Tanzania that you can take advantage of. Go to theledgegroup.com. Find out how much it will cost to be a part of the safari. It's a $15,000 value safari. You know, man. Theledgegroup.com, it deals with the four areas of people existence: food, water, clothing, and shelter. They have 12 projects in six countries on the continent with over 172 people employed and over 260 members, and they need more members. You need to become a member of TheLedgeGroup.com. This Saturday seminar series with Abibi Atumi. That's right, Abibi Atumi, ABIBITUMI.com, BibiAtumi.com. This is the community building work study model. The guest will be Professor Manua Pim. And Brother Manua Pim is a primary researcher from the West Coast. Outstanding, brother. Let me try to get a chance to listen to that. And, of course, it's at 1 p.m. Eastern time this Saturday to purchase a ticket. It's only about $10 to get great information. You would go to bibiatumi.com. No more lectures. It's time to take action. It's nation building time. In this workshop, we will discuss the need for transformation over information, for restoring and building modern Kemet, the global African nation. Learn the tools needed to start taking effective action and about the global African nation that is growing at Abibi Atumi. Abibi Atumi, brothers. BibiAtumi.com. It's a great website. You need to make it a favor when you go there. Become a member. Abibi Atumi. Wadada's Healthy Market and Juice Bar, located in West End here in Atlanta. I'm Ralph David Abernathy, right across the street from Soul Veg, up the street from the Shrine of the Black Madonna, which is open on weekends on Friday and Saturday from 1 to 7 at the Shrine of the Black Madonna. And if you want to know any questions or anything about the Shrine, you can give them a call. You can give the Shrine a call at 404-549-8876. That's 404-549-8676. The Shrine of the Black Madonna. Wadada's Healthy Market and Juice Bar, give them a call at 404-444-1635. They have a delicious smoothies and health vitality drinks and all kind of good stuff at Wadada's. So 404-444-1635. Wadada's Healthy Market and Juice Bar. The Medu Bookstore in the Greenbrier Mall here in the Atlanta area. The Medu Bookstore, Mama Nia, she has a new location, but she has a fine selection of books, postcards, greeting cards, T-shirts, figurines, you name it. And I'm quite sure she'll start having book reviews and other presentations. She has more room, so it's going to be great. And I was about to do one, and I definitely will do one when the time is appropriate. But it's in the Greenbrier Mall, but her number is still the same. It's at 404-346-3263. 404-346-3263. The Medu Bookstore in the Greenbrier Mall. You know. So sorry about that, family. The Black Dot Cultural Center and Bookstore in Lithonia. I want to take this time right now to thank Brother Sincere and Sister Lulu, a Black Debonair, and, of course, Kazemde Ajamu, who provided the venue. We had a very nice program, a Black Debonair at Wadada's. Good attendance on a night that it rained. Some brothers and sisters came out. I was very pleased with that. Me and a young brother wrote a book. I think he's like 13 or 14 years old, you know. And they gave me an award for being who I am and doing what I'm doing, you know. And I acknowledge that and I appreciate that. At the Black Dot Cultural Center and Bookstore, I love what Brother Kazemde Ajamu has done at Black Dot. And you need to go to the Black Dot and check it out. 6984 Main Street in Lithonia, you know. So 404-519-8107, 404-519-8107. Us Lifting Us, the Economic Development Cooperative for our people in the spirit of Ujamaa. Cooperative economics, or as we like to say, family-centered economics, every Thursday night to Thursday night broadcast at 9 p.m. From 9 to 10, every Thursday night Go to blogtalkradio.com, blogtalkradio.com/ULU, Us Lifting Us, ULU. The name of the program is Dare to Win, and that is at 9 p.m. every Wednesday night. Excuse me, every Thursday night. And you also can call to listen at 929-477-2789, 929-477-2789, or you can ask a question or comment, or if you have a concern for Us Lifting Us, the Economic Development Cooperative for our people, in the spirit of Ujamaa. Sun Goddess Scents, your one-stop natural shop located at 4140 Jonesboro Road in Forest Park, Georgia. Inside the International Discount Mall, booth 225. Brothers and sisters, if you're in that area, go to Sun Goddess Scents, the one-stop natural shop for excellent products for your grooming, for your beard and so forth, incense, clothing, t-shirts, African-centered. Man, it's on. Check out or give Sister Shirley, excuse me, Sister Shelley Amonsette at 404-434-7963. That's 404-434-7963. Sun God, Sun Goddess Scents, your one-stop natural shop. And get some great products. Sanjay-Aiti, Sister Gabrielle Aurelia is doing outstanding work in the northeastern portion of the island of Haiti. Give Sister Gabby, go online to sanjay-aiti.org, sonjay-aiti, AYITI.org, sanjay-aiti. Baba Baruti had a workshop this past weekend, and he's got one coming up. He had Common Sense Security. The next one is going to be May 8th. That's not this Saturday, but the following Saturday, May 8th, men's quarterly meeting. And it's going to be Warriorhood, Healing, and Ma'at. That's going to be Saturday, May 8th at 12 p.m. from 12 to 2. 12 to 2. And then towards the end of, well, actually, June 5th, it's the 7th Annual Complementarity Conference, June 5th. Affirming African love. So, Baba Baruti. If you want to make a contribution to what Baba Baruti and Mama Ya Baruti are doing, it's Akabin Institute. You can make a check or money order out to Akabin Institute. Send it to P.O. Box 10786, Atlanta, Georgia 30310. But of course, you can use PayPal and Cash App, and you can make a consistent donation, which would definitely be welcomed and appreciate it. For Cash App, put in the $ Yah, Y-A-A, the letter M, Baruti, B-A-R-U-T-I. If you want to check out some of the books that Baba Baruti is a prolific writer, go to AkabinHouse.com. AkabinHouse.com. And of course, we're going to read from one of those books, as we always do on this program, and that is the Inye Sesim of Daily Revolutionary Thought. And of course, the Inye Sesim, this volume 2 is geared towards warriors and warriorhood of sisters and brothers who want to be on the front line to assist us in coming into the reality of ourselves. April 25th. This revolution begins when we regurgitate the lies and deceptions they feed us, when we recede and then refeed our roots with truths of our ancestry and refute the lies of his story. Ruan. Some of us will look at photos of Yorugu in Kemet attire and see the truth in human beauty. Their mental side is so calcified that they unquestionably believe all of Yorugu's historical lies and propaganda. They see no threat. They misinterpret these calculated misrepresentations as merely harmless depictions of an ancient reality, which is of no true significance in today's world. In the same way that it is beyond them to grasp Dr. Nana Clark's observation that history is a current event. And some of us, some familiar with our story, regard these images in a depoliticized way, viewing them as no more than an expression of Urugu's childish envy of our African first. Their goal is to do no more than save their own wounded egos, because they too sit among the vanquished and believe full reclamation to be an African impossibility. But those of us who are well acquainted with the historical truth of liars, who know exactly what is behind this grand invasion, theft, and usurpation, we understand that it is a conscious insult, a sacrilegious act of war that is an only one in a long, long line of intentional, unforgivable insults to the humanity of our brilliance, of our ancestors, and therefore to us. Affirm, I feed our seeds a corrective truth. Affirm, I feed our seeds a corrective truth. You know, I tell you, sometimes the spirit of our ancestors moved me to do and to have a topic, and it just, stuff just comes at me to give to you. And I know a lot of times on this program, because I'm not feeding you bullshit. I'm giving it to you straight, no chaser. I'm giving you independence, self-determination, liberation, and sovereignty for African people. Our motto is Pan-Africanism or perish. Unify or die. That's real, brothers and sisters. April 26th. When people say that they are opposed to Negroes resorting to violence, what they really mean is that they are opposed to Negroes defending themselves and challenging the exclusive monopoly of violence practiced by white racists. Robert Williams, Negroes with Guns. Providing righteous frontline African warrior leadership in the face of a historically invasive, murderous evil requires a fearless courage, an indefeatable dedication, and an uncompromising and incorruptible incorruptible culture first vision, a race first vision. Therefore, we must think at higher levels of warriorhood. We must cogitate. We must cogitate at the mythical level. For misfit warriors against seemingly impossible odds, insurmountable, inescapable odds, and teach us how to win from within. Our resilience is the greatest evidence of the utility and timeless presence of powerful myths among us. African people are like a bush that has been repeatedly trampled on but keeps sprouting newer, tougher growth. As a people, resilience is our finest quality. And because we are our ancestors, we should act accordingly. Therefore, in visualizing victory, our warriors must conceive of the challenges the contemporary battlefield places before us in mythical proportions and raise to their destiny of bringing absolute sovereignty to African people before actively our mythical eye, through which we would be wise to ask ourselves, why are we using racists to describe any single Urugu act against us? Why are we acting like those who openly behave as themselves are somehow of a different type, as contradictory or different from the group norm? Urugu's only possible frame of reference is Urugu. If you do not understand Urugu as one, then you do not understand Urugu at all, and our resilience becomes wasted. Affirm, when I need to be violent, I'm violent. Affirm, when I need to be violent, I am. I'm violent. You know, when I talk about a revolution,
The only one, as Malcolm said, the one is the nonviolent, the Negro Revolution of nonviolence against a very violent prone people who have been violent historically, particularly against us. A very violent prone people. Man. I tell you. I have traveled across the length and breadth of Africa. I have not seen one person who is a beggar, who is a thief. Such wealth I have seen in this country, such great moral values, people of such caliber, that I do not think we would ever conquer this country unless we break the very backbone of this nation, which is their spiritual and cultural heritage. And therefore, I propose that we replace her old and ancient educational system, her culture. For if the Africans think that all that is foreign and British is good and greater than their own, they will lose their self-esteem, their native culture, and they will become what we want them to be, a truly dominated nation. Lord Macaulay's address to the British Parliament, the 2nd of February of 1835. Yeah, the British. And I, you know, Brother Paul doesn't call in to me too much anymore because he said that they blocked Time for an Awakening from the UK, and he doesn't get it. But I'm going to put a special request because I haven't heard from him and see how he's doing to come on and let's, you know, have some conversation, you know. The first country to gain independence from colonizers, and one of the biggest colonizers, of course, is the British. That's what we're talking about today. Colonization is still in effect. Colonialism is still in effect. It was Kwame Nkrumah. Kwame Nkrumah said in 1961, "I believe strongly and sincerely that with the deep-rooted wisdom and dignity, the innate respect for human lives, the intense humanity that is our heritage, that the African culture united under one federal government." And we're talking about that right now. The Pan-African Federalist Movement is talking about that right now. It needs to come into existence now. The African culture united under one federal government will emerge not just as another world block to flaunt its wealth and strength, but has a great power whose greatness is indestructible because it is built not on fear or envy and suspicion, nor won at the expense of others, but founded on hope, trust, friendship, and directed to the good of all mankind. The Speech of Freedom, 1961. He said this not too far afterwards. If we do not approach the problems in Africa with a common front and a common purpose, we shall be haggling and wrangling amongst ourselves until we are colonized again and become the trolls of a far greater colonialism than we had suffered heretofore. That's what's happening on the continent. Neocolonialism. That's what's happening with African people. The divisions that we have, the lack of understanding of who we are and what we should be doing. To be truly liberated, African people must come to know the nature of European thought and behavior in order to understand the effect that the European has had on our ability to think victoriously. Because what you can't conceive, you will never achieve. We must be able to separate our thoughts from Europeans' thoughts, so to visualize a future that is not dominated by Europe. This is a demand by an African-centered view, because why? We are Africans. And because the future towards which Europe leads us
is genocide. My good sister and friend, Marimba Ani. Yeah. So, yeah. Man. I'm going to play Dr. Mumbi Sharaka from Kenya, good sister from Kenya. I've played her. I know one time for sure when we were talking about the number of military bases that are in Africa and all the countries that have a military base in Africa. You know, so I'm going to play. This particular piece by Dr. Mumbi Sharaka.
To all the dispossessed youth of Africa, Africa, for perpetuation of communion with ancestral spirits, through the fight for African freedom. And in the firm faith that the dead, the living, and the unborn will unite to build the destroyed shrines.
Hello and welcome, beloveds, to another episode of Wake Up Africa. My name is Dr. Mumbi Sharaka. How you doing? How's everything going? I really do pray that you are well in all your ways and that you're moving into living life truly on your own terms, in your own vibe, in your own rhythm. Thanks to every single person that has subscribed to the channel. We appreciate love you so much. Go ahead and consider subscribing, beloveds, if you haven't already. And make sure you hit that notification button so that you find out every single time we upload a new episode. Thanks to every single person that also emails us. And also, you know, special shout out to our Patreon family. Absolutely. We do release the news on there because I've been getting a lot of emails after the death of the Chad president. A lot of people wanting to know what my take is. I shared that as breaking news, you know, on Patreon and kind of gave my two cents. But I thought I'd cover it on this from a spiritual angle, beloveds, because in the last 1 year, five of our presidents, five of Africa's presidents have been taken out. Could you imagine if the same thing happened in Europe, where five European presidents were, died in within the space of a year? It's not normal. And we have to see that the Great Reset, especially how it's going to evolve and take shape on the African continent, is quite different. The agenda they have for us is quite different. It's a neo-colonial agenda. Many actually on the continent feel that the whole pandemic was about slowing Africa down. And it's always about us, beloveds. It's always been about us. And if you look, before the pandemic, I think 5 out of the 10 top, you know, fastest growing nations were on the continent. And now, you know, we're back. Many were getting free from debt, et cetera, starting to assert themselves in mining and various different industries, trying to claim their power back. And then, boom, the pandemic happened. And then now we're literally back, especially countries like Kenya. We're literally back to the 90s when there was, a scramble for Africa. This is the new scramble for Africa. And they told us. In 2019 and 2020, I think 2019, I really covered this a lot, where they were talking about dividing Africa anew, China becoming a new player. We saw Russia coming into Africa. We even saw Turkey, beloveds, coming into Africa. So there is a reset, and the great global reset is very different from the reset that they're trying to have in Africa. They're trying to reset us back to the dictatorial, total neo-colonial control by the puppet masters. They're either going to do it through regime change, or they'll do it through economic manipulation and control, like in Kenya. I mean, our debt went from 1.7 trillion maybe a couple of years ago to 7 trillion. And now the World Bank is coming into our government and telling us you need to privatize this, you need to do that. This is what happened in the 90s, beloveds. You really need to research if you're interested in what, you know, the trends of Africa, the structural adjustment programs that the World Bank and the IMF came up with. And what happened with those programs is that a lot of our resources were privatized. That's when our water was privatized. And they got us in the debt trap. You see what China's doing? Babylon did it first. in the 90s, they borrowed to, you know, they lent money to all these dictators that were in Africa to run these massive governments, colonial governments that they had left in place. And then as the debt increased, of course, the corruption, you know, they started giving personal handouts. When the debt reached a certain level, they actually owned the country, and then they started to dictate, privatize your electricity, privatize your telecom. That's why the British Telecom owns, you know, the local Kenyan, one of the Kenya's biggest and maybe East Africa's biggest telecom, Safaricom. It's because we had to privatize this. Many nations had to privatize this. And this is how we lost many of our resources after we'd struggled to get them. So we've never been free, because you cannot be free in a Babylon system, in a Babylon government. But now, so aside from the economic kind of entrapment that they're doing for willing leaders like our own here, the other thing they're doing is that if you don't play ball, they are literally taking you out. Beloveds, we've lost 5 presidents. Not that these presidents really, you know, were doing anything for, many of them were already puppets. But, you know, the thing is, before, as puppets, you could say yes, no, yes, no. Now, the Mzungu only wants a yes. One no and you get kicked out. And so there is a lot of fear and apprehension among the African presidents that still have, you know, their mental faculties together. But beloveds, listen to this. Let me just go through the people, you know. First of all, the Ivory Coast president, Hamed Bakayoko, he actually passed on 3rd March. And then 2 weeks later, literally, Tanzanian President John Magufuli, passed on 17th March. And last year, beloveds, remember Burundian president, where there was a quick election, and then the next thing we saw, the president had died, Pierre Nkurunziza, he died on 8th June. And Swaziland president, Ambrose Ndlamini, he also died in December. And now we have Idris Derby, Chad president, who had gone to the rebel front lines to see what was going on, and he was taken out. But the 4 previous presidents I just mentioned, they all opposed the pandemic and were trying to protect their people. And they have now been replaced by more compliant people. But as I've said, beloveds, we can influence these leaders with our spiritual energy. If enough people collectively are sending a certain vibe to a president, that will tip the balance. But I'll definitely get that into that later on. But you see, what's happened, beloved, is that if you also look, a lot of the presidents, all these 5 presidents, they had just survived an election. And that's what the government, so they'll try and get you financially. If they don't get you financially, then they'll try and get you through the election. And that's why you'll see all this negative stuff about the leaders they don't want and how they're like this and they're like that. And then if you survive the election, then they will take you out. These are really perilous times, beloveds. And it's not so much, as I was saying earlier, that these leaders are for us or they were puppets or whatever, but it's an attack on our sovereignty as an African nation. How can we have lost 5 African presidents, beloveds, in a year? And what's happening actually is that, you know, in France, I've been looking at a lot of tweets after this guy was, after Idris Derby was taken out. And there was a tweet, there's some people who I follow, this guy's called Onyen Kuzi, and he was talking about how France has actually managed to transition, you know, from father to son in various regimes. Like when the father became difficult, something happened to the father and the son took over. It started with Yadema of Togo. He was replaced by his son, Faure Ganisingbe. There's also Omar Bongo Ondimba. He was replaced by his son, Ali Bongo Ondimba. Sorry if I'm mispronouncing these names. And now, Idris Derby has been replaced by his son. Why are their sons, you know, why are they being replaced by their sons? Is it because the son is more willing to follow orders than the father? Can we hope that the sons will actually try and, you know, fight the regime? Mamba! my neighbor, he always comes to see, you know, what I'm doing. But, you know, and now Chad actually has their youngest 37-year-old head of state. So what is really going on, beloved? Who is taking out our African presidents? It's the colonialists, because they never left. Colonialism never ended, beloveds. That's the truth right now. And they are removing even the mildest of gatekeepers who were on their side before. Anyway, let's take a short break. We'll be right back. Welcome back, beloveds, to Wake Up Africa. My name is Dr. Mumbi Saraki. How you doing? How's everything going? So who is killing our African presidents? I think it's very important to understand what is going on because, you know, we never gained liberation. You can't gain liberation and keep the same oppressive colonial system. The fact that we kept the colonial governments in place, the fact that we didn't even create our own system, even of health, of education, et cetera, shows you that the colonialism, the war was never won. It was diverted, you know, it was shifted because by the time we were fighting for independence in the 50s, many people were already mentally colonized. So it's just the colonialism moved from physical to mental. And now we're witnessing the phase two of the neo-colonial agenda. And, you know, the news has just come out about how France is actually behind was behind the genocide. It was, you know, they're saying it was a missed call, et cetera, et cetera. But, you know, and that they had a hand in the genocide that took place in Rwanda. You guys need to check who was really behind that. Definitely a foreign hand. But, you know, France was also behind the ECO because France is a third world country, beloveds. The only thing they had is the taxes of the African nations. And if you look carefully, you'll see all the people that were, you know, speaking out against France and, you know, what France was doing with the colonial tax. Many of them have been pushed aside, eliminated, taken out, however you want to put it. And now France is like doing they're doing generational changes where they're replacing the father with the son. They've done it with three presidents as I listed, although many are thinking the fourth will be Paul Biya, where they will regime change from the son, you know, from the father to the son. But this is a very perilous time to be an African president, because if you are a puppet and an agent of the West, then you are extremely you're extremely exposed. Because now the West isn't going to accept you say yes on some things and no on some things. No, it's going to be yes, yes, yes. The day you say no, you get taken out. I think a lot of presidents, African presidents, have that apprehension. But many are in too deep because I told you, if they don't get you economically, like now they have Kenya in their pocket economically, where now the World Bank is going to start dictating to us what our policies should be and what our priorities should be. And then they'll start saying, privatize your mines, privatize this because you've borrowed money from them. You know, it's like taking a mortgage and you don't pay. They'll come for your car. They'll come for your house. That's where we find ourselves as a Kenyan people. And it's very frustrating because we're seeing that our governments aren't able to even speak out on the most basic abuses of our land. Like what happened with the 10,000 acres that was destroyed by the British Army. Can you imagine the Kenyan government never commented? But now, five presidents gone in a year, beloveds. It's because now there's a new play. The global reset it's also a global reset for Africa, and they have a specific agenda for Africa. Just like they sat in 1884 and carved out the different African nations for the different European powers, they are now doing the same thing, but there's new players at the table. Russia is at the table. Turkey is at the table. China is at the table. And people have been saying the war of Armageddon will be fought in Africa. World War III will be fought in Africa. And sadly, you know, as we continue to believe these things, those things gain momentum. But if you look at, there's a certain Twitter handle I follow, and the guy's called Military Nigeria or something like that. You can find him if you go through my page at Dr. Mumbi Saraki. And he was talking about how the next few months are going to be an extremely interesting time for Africa because France has been preparing for a high-intensity war. They've actually even been carrying out surveys, trying to find out if their citizens would be ready, you know, for something. And this is what he says. Africa is heating up, folks. Strap on your seatbelts. It's going to be an interesting period for Africa in the coming months. The French military is planning for high-intensity war. Its armed forces is beginning to prepare for the return of a major conflict, et cetera, et cetera. And he says, you know, a full-scale divisional exercise on a scale that will involve a full range of, you know, French military capacity, 20,000 soldiers, et cetera, et cetera. And he goes on and on talking about how they made sure Nigeria was destabilized because Nigeria is like, you know, the protective force in the West African region, and they've done so much. He's actually called At Defense Nigeria. Definitely go check out what he has to say. And he's talking about how France, they can go to Europe because Germany and Russia are there. They can't go to Asia. So where are they coming? Here. But I think it's actually deeper than that. I think that, you know, they never left, beloveds. Colonialism never ended. What they found is it was easier to have us as wage slaves than as slaves that they beat up. And, you know, it was better to use soft power than hard power, where they're killing you off if you're not agreeing, et cetera, et cetera. And now France has been behind everything, beloveds. They control the eco. You know, there was that whole global movement against, you know, the African nations that still till today pay African colonial tax. And a few of the presidents started saying that they wanted to change that because a majority of French nations keep their reserves in France, et cetera, et cetera, of African nations, former African colonies. So they wanted to, you know, so a lot of countries were wanting to change that. And now, you know, France has actually changed, you know, triggered generational transition from father to son. In three nations, now it's in Chad with Idris Deby. Many feel it will also happen with Paul Biya, who's been, you know, I don't even know if he's a clone or not. But I say this to say, beloveds, that the time for us, you know, if we look at this whole situation, sorry, there's a helicopter going by. It's actually circling, so I just hope it won't interfere too much. You know, there's... That's so weird, man. I think this one is actually Kenyan Army, but anyway, there's some army folk who were like, yo, there was a helicopter the other day, and they were like, that's a fighter, I don't know, what. Anyway... the reason I share this, beloveds, is because if you look at the situation physically, you can see that the Babylon system is preparing for a new form of control for our people. And we must fight as much as we must fight it, but we can't physically because even the one who holds the keys, the people who hold the keys to our nation are in the pockets of these Westerners. So we must continuously pray and chant and, you know, send out dots. You know, your mouth is extremely powerful. Write affirmations that Africa will be free in our generation, that Eden will be restored. And it's time for people to speak out that, you know, may the French regime and all regimes that have, you know, nefarious agendas for Africa be exposed. And also let's fight. Let's also speak against the fact that so many of our people, we have this, it's like there's a spell of forgetfulness. Like we'll cry about the eco and everything that's happening with it. You know, and how the eco currency is now controlled by France and oh my God, African nations are, you know, still paying taxes to colonial masters, et cetera, et cetera. But then in 6 months, everyone forgets because there's this information overload now. But we have to remember and may justice be served. Like, if there's too many things to cover, just say, you know, we need an African reset before the colonialists. That's what we need, where we knew ourselves. And of course, we're totally different beings. Many of us won't even make it. But the liberation of Africa can only come through spirit, beloveds. And spirit is willing.
The God of our ancestors is willing, but we must call on them by even knowing what their name is. Anyway, let me know what you think about this. Who is killing off our African presidents? Until next time, Tuka Pamodo.
Dr. Mumbi Sharaka of Kenya. I don't know where to begin. In fact, you know, I'm going to tell you where I'm going to begin. I'm going to take a break when I come back from the break. Let's engage in this discussion, and I'm going to try to keep my cool head. But this is something I've been seeing consistently and constantly. And with the exception of the murder, but we all know that African leaders have been murdered when they don't comply to European demands. Neocolonialism has been in effect for a long time after colonialism was imposed. And even though when Kwame Nkrumah, and I read to you what he said at the Speech of Freedom, and I read to you what he said some years later before he was, which of course through the help of the United States. So I'm going to take a break. When I come back from the break, brothers and sisters, we'll engage in this conversation. I hope you join me. Give us a call at 215-490-9832. 215-490-9832. Brothers and sisters, you're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. You'll be back. We will be back. You stay with us.
You are listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshi on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
You over here from Africa. We gave you a new name, a new culture, a new language, a new religion. So as you look for Houdini, I study Kundalini, rising up through my vertebrae till I see the genie. Now do you like that? Yeah, we like that. Ready to fight back? Ready to fight back. But they don't like that. You embrace, carrying loads of dead weight we displace. So over this earth cursed with hate, still bowing down to masters who burn and cash play. We so divine, spiritual slaves, deaf and blind, but intertwined. Can recognize your black signs. You think not, so we rock braids and twist knots. That's not ether, galaxy rays and equinox. The soul seeker, astro signs. We leave the clock, on, the y'all. Age of Aquarius. Both shifts and rise. Do you like that? Yeah, we like that. Against us, they're trying to take us down, but you must realize if you tap into your energies that they tried to keep you from, the ancestors, they have another plan. I'm calling on the ancestors, the ancestors, come on, come on, come on, that's black science. Now do you like that?
Got me feeling like I'm in the tails of the grip. Whoa, I can't move any faster. I load up the chamber in case I got a blaster. Translate the description. Now I'm walking like Egyptians. Got the nicest style when I slice it. Take it back to Horus, Osiris, and Isis. Hey, hey, can't you see the light?
Say what's up?
Knowledge of oneself is priceless. So yo, bro, tell me how you living. Unlock the secrets behind racism. Schisms and all the mechanisms. Can't break what's in my system. Never. Government officials say, ready to strap with the pistol. Create another issue, or if they're gonna drop a missile, who straps your feet? Don't drag. If the earth is your country, the wave, come on now.
You are listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
There is a lot of talk of late on the African continent about the fact that Africans are awaking. There is a lot of talk about the fact that we are woke. But the question that I'd like to ask you is, almost 100 years ago, a man called Marcus Garvey rose and told Africans that they must unite. Unite in their control of resources. Unite as nations. Unite their imaginations, their dreams, aspirations, and capabilities to grow in Africa and a race that will be able to self-determine and compete against other races. A man called Kwame Nkrumah came and said the same message. And another by the name of Malcolm X said the same. But the question is, after almost a century since the rise of Marcus Garvey, has Africa achieved unity? Do we control our resources? Do we unite in our aspirations, dreams? And have we elevated Africa into a continent and a race that can compete and self-determine against other races? The truth of the matter is we have failed. We have failed because we have remained divided. We've continued to work as 54 different states that continue to be subjugated. This is why the French continue to have 14 colonies on the African continent. It is why 36 African countries have got American bases and AFRICOM on their soil. It is why many African countries continue to sell their resources, their institutions, for debt to countries like China. And the question that I'm now challenging you, the woke generation, with is, what are we going to do about it? The reason we've got wars on the African continent is because we're being divided for conquest. The reason we've got sanctions on the African continent is that all the independent knowledge and education, the power to take control of our resources, can be destroyed so that Africa can continue to be colonized by our Western colonizers. This is why now we need to rise. Remember that you, the African American, with all your paper money, the greatest wealth among all black nations, only have paper money, but the true wealth is in Africa. The true wealth is the reason why Africa is under sanctions and war, the one that Europeans want to keep for themselves. You need to bring your paper money, your skill, your knowledge, your frustration back to Africa to invest it in the control of real wealth and real resources in the form of the oil, the diamonds, chrome, lithium, cassiterite, and all the other resources that the Western worlds are fighting to control in Africa. Your paper money can be leveraged into machines, skills, technology, and the knowledge that Africa needs in order to move and prosper. You, the Caribbean, with your skill, power, determination, you, the Jamaican, the first people to resist European colonialism. You, the Haitian, the very first black peoples to defeat a European army. You are the answer to Africa's problems. You, the European African, with all that you've learned and earned, the basketball player, the soccer player, the sportsman, the singer, the musician, the actor, with all your billions of dollars, are the investment that Africa needs to stop its dependency on the colonizer. It's about time that we rose. And I'm saying that Marcus Garvey's dream can be fulfilled. Because when he dreamt it, not a single country, not a single African country was independent. When he dreamt it, not many black billionaires existed, if any. But today we've got black billionaires. Today the richest man in Africa is a black man. We have what it takes and the capacity that it takes to grow our continent into being a continent that can be respected, can self-determine, control its resources, control the processing of those resources, and create currencies based on those resources to be the leading economy in the world. With that, we can industrialize, grow up the technology curve, and begin to create the machinery, the tools to defend the sovereignty of this continent. And now I say it's time that we unite. We have countries like Zimbabwe under U.S. war sanctions to make it unattractive for any African to come because Europeans are preserving it for themselves. But I'm inviting you, my African-American brother, you Africans in the diaspora, you Africans on the continent to say, come and take advantage of the greatest reserves of lithium, chrome, gold, true wealth, land, an opportunity to develop infrastructure for us to create wealth as a people, for yourselves, for the advancement of Africa. The time to awake is now, but awakening takes action, pride, investment, development, innovation to give our people power. This is the time.
Welcome back, brothers and sisters. Other programming we have here on Time for an Awakening Media, of course, is this program every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Eastern. All times are going to give our Eastern times. This evening from 6 to 8, Acres of Diamonds Public Affairs Programming of Brother Wahad, head founder of Philadelphia. That's followed by from 8 to 9, Black Therapy Central with Dr. Mawia Kamban and Nataki Kamban. That's followed by from 9 to 10, Conversations, Reparations with Brother Jamoke and Sister Lacey of Encobra. On Tuesdays, Black Reality Think Tank with Dr. William Rogers from 8 to 10. On Wednesday, the Black Farmers Report. Wednesday, 8 p.m. to 9, the Black Farmers Report. On Friday, if it's Friday and it's 8 p.m. Eastern, it's time for an awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard on Fridays. Saturdays from 4 to 6, Sister Talk with host LaWanda Chambers. And then on Saturdays from 7 to 9, the Sankofa Elders Council. And then on Sundays from 7 p.m., once again, Time for an Awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. And, of course, the number to call is 215-490-9832, 215-490-9832. African Liberation Day is May 25th. After all that I've played, all that I've stated, this day should be commemorated in the utmost fashion, globally. A coordination should happen. If it's just happening in your city, make it happen and make it happen big. If it's happening in your state, do likewise. But it should be on the continent. It should be all over. African Liberation Day, May 25th, even though that's a Tuesday. And you may have a bigger function on that Saturday, the 22nd, or the upcoming Saturday, 29th, whatever day it is, highlight that Africa must unite. Africa must be as one. The brothers and sisters in the diaspora who have the ability and the wherewithal must unite with the brothers and sisters on the continent. It is vitally important. It is of the utmost importance. I've already stated that the Chinese plan to have 300 million of their people relocated on the African continent. Everybody's making plans but Africa. And many of the Africans on the continent are trying to make plans to get the hell out. Africa's being educated in Western society with a Western mindset. Yeah, I'm telling you. Give me a call if you want to get into this conversation at 215-490-9832. 215-490-9832. Colonialism, neocolonialism. Are there still countries that are practice colonialism? Of course it is. There are 61 colonies or territories. 61 colonies or territories in the world at this moment. And 8 countries maintain them. Here are the 8 countries, and here is the number. Australia, they have 6. Of course, Australia is Britain. Australia is Britain. The UK, they still have 6. Denmark has 2. The Netherlands have 2. France has 16. New Zealand, which is Great Britain, has 3. Norway has 3. Great Britain, or the United Kingdom, has 15. And the United States has 14. 61 countries that Europeans, what's the common denominator of all those countries I named? They're all European. They're all European. The time, well, it's been time. But right now, right at this moment, tomorrow, the day after, the week, the month, the year, the decade, whatever the hell time you want to mark it, damn it, let's get busy. I mentioned, let me go back to Bibi Atumi, because Brother Manua Pim will be on this weekend. And I'm going to definitely try to be in on that conversation if I can. It depends upon my grandson's basketball, damn it. Yeah. The Saturday series, the Saturday seminar series, the community building work study model with Brother Manu Apim, Professor Manu Apim out of the West Coast. Once again, no more lectures. It's time to take action. It's nation building time. In this workshop, we will discuss the need for transformation over information, for restoring and building modern Kemet, the global African nation. Learn the tools needed to start taking effective action, and about the global African nation that is growing at Bibi Atumi. Once again, brothers and sisters, go to bibiatumi.com, A-B-I-B-T-U-M-I.com. Make it a favorite. Make it happen. This Saturday at 1 p.m. Colonialism. What's neocolonial? Neocolonialism is the practice of using economics, globalization, cultural imperialism, and conditional aid to influence a country instead of the previous colonial methods of direct military control, imperialism, or indirect political control, hegemony. I like that he put that in there. So it gives you an understanding what hegemony, what's mine is mine, and what's yours is mine. And yet, our leadership, we don't have any real leadership. The people here in this country continue to believe that somehow, some way, we are tied here. This is just as much ours as it is theirs. And we're consistently battling these folks, and they consistently knock us back, knock us down. And we continue to get up and battle them again to try to maybe persuade them to somehow, maybe through an epiphany or whatever, that they will have a notion that, hey, you know, you too can be a part of this. I'm sorry for the wrongs that I committed against you and you and your people and how I've done you. To hell with that. Only through our strength will we get the reparations that we deserve, that our ancestors cry out for, that are necessary, because not to get them does a dishonor and disservice to them who, because they suffered so greatly. But only through our strength. Not now. It ain't the one that Evanston. Now, I understand the Evanston, Illinois situation, because what they're saying is that the European dogged us out. They redlined us. It's all there. It's documented. It's proven that because of what they did, we lost generational wealth and so forth. So now they're going to use marijuana, the surpluses from the marijuana, to pay the brothers and sisters who have lost wealth and property in Evanston, Illinois. You know, you might have heard about the family when it was found out what happened to them in California, in the L.A. County area, when the beach that they had was taken from them many years ago. And now they're talking about restoring that to them, to their family. All of that's good, but that's not what this is about. I don't give a damn about America and all the things that happen here. Like Marcus Garvey said, he talked about Africa as opposed to Jamaica. What? You expect me to give up a continent for an island? No. I'm going to take the continent for an island? You expect me to give up the continent for a place in this hell, to for the very fact that as long as they are here and we are here, we will be in a precarious position. Always. Always. Brothers and sisters, it is, or it's been time. We have to do this. Join this conversation. Give me a call at 215-490-9832. If we don't do this, that's why I play the things that I play. I say the things that I do. That's why I do what I do every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. That's why I don't talk about any other subject, because this is the only subject. It is. It's the only thing we should be talking about. The only thing of relevance. The only thing of that is serious to discuss. Everything else is frivolous. Everything else is moot. This is what needs to be discussed. What's going to happen? I'm suggesting to you all who are listening to, once again, to go to bbatumi.com and register For this Saturday seminar series. If you're here in the East Coast, it's 1 o'clock, 12 in the Midwest, 11 in the mountain, and 10 Pacific time. Times are decent. You ain't got to worry about getting, you should be up if you're on the West Coast, in the mountain, in the Midwest, and of course on the East Coast. We have to infuse ourselves with knowledge of ourselves and the confidence we should have in ourselves, but more importantly, with each other. This is vital. Why am I talking about the movie, The Great Pyramid K 2019? The movie, Great Pyramid K 2019. Why? Because that lets us know for sure who we are and what we have done. It takes the cloak off of all them Caucasians who want to claim Kemet for themselves. It takes the cloak off the people who are there now, the Arabs who came in during the 7th century and took it over. And now they have all these shops selling cartouches and selling figures and so forth. That's not them. That's us. We need to reclaim, recapture, and restore our greatness as African people. Get rid of tribalism. Get rid of mysticism. Get rid of ignorance. Let's come together. If you are a people that this is your practice, that's fine. But damn it, make sure you understand that the number one thing in your mind is unity, African unity, regardless of whatever country you come from, whatever people, Kikuyu, Ashanti, Afanti, whatever. No more division. Unity. Give me a call. I got a caller here, 646-646. Good afternoon.
Yeah, Oshi, what's happening, brother?
Hey, man.
How was your weekend?
Great, I had a good weekend. How you doing? I heard you last night, man.
Oh man, that right there, man, I was giving up on using the
C word.
Now I know I'll leave that to you to use.
Yeah, well,
I gotta come up with something.
Well, let me just say this. You know, I may say even other words. I may even go back and say hunky. And when was the last time you heard that one?
That's a good one.
Yeah, the last time you heard that one. You know?
I used to enjoy George Jefferson. He was, matter of fact, to be honest with you, I liked Archie Bunker too. I don't have problems with white folks and their madness. You know what I mean? I just always feel you have to be in a position to correct their madness, and you have to be in a position to expose their madness. It's like the whole thing.
Well, I mean, Jay, you know that's good, but it's not going to do a damn thing. You can expose them and talk. They're going to do what they do, you know.
Yeah, that's why.
They're
going
to continue to do what they do.
You should never pay them any mind other than wanting to do one thing that we don't want to do because we don't have that desire nor the ability to do it, and that is to put them to death. It's just like, now think about this. If black people had a choice of putting this Urugu to death, I guarantee you 5% would take it and the rest wouldn't. Because they believe in Sky Daddyism or some other nonsense that would prevent them from ever dealing with the white man in the manner in which he needs to be dealt with. And there's only one way to deal with him, and that's death, bro. I mean,
well, let me just say this to you. We recognize, I hear you. We recognize that the European, Caucasians, white people have been experiencing negative population growth for a few decades. Their numbers are dwindling by its very nature. We don't have to do a damn thing. What we need to do is come together, unify Africa, kick out the Chinese, kick out the Indians, kick out the Europeans, kick out them damn Arabs in the north, whatever the case may be, and unify Africa. That's what we need to do.
Well, you know, you know, that goes to the whole thing in regards to last night and what was being said in regards to, as the nation calls it, separation of elves. My question is, how do you separate from your oppressor in his land and expect for your oppressor to still clothe and feed you? Basically.
Well, see, that's what I'm saying.
No, let me finish. Please let me finish. You want to separate from the white man and have the white man give you land and give you certain resources so that you can maintain the land, grow and develop the land on his dime, get to the point to where as you are now supposedly self-sufficient, and if the bastard have a bad day, what he gonna do, because history has shown it, he gonna take it from you and kill you. Now, that don't make no damn sense to me.
Okay.
Now, whereby if you go home and you hook up with some government where there may be a chance that you'll get a better shake, you'll get the opportunity to build and develop and hopefully in the process change the mindset of so-called leadership, your chances for survival are far greater. Because in essence, you're basically doing the same thing there that your black behind would be doing here, other than the auspice of the white man giving your black ass something. So that's our twisted unlogic that we have. We don't understand that we need to get the hell out of here if we ever want to separate really from the white man and build where we have a more of a chance of the evilness, the jealousy, and the envy killing them.
I agree, because, you know, you got to understand, you know, the Republic of New Africa, the Nation of Islam, maybe some others. I'm not sure if the Black Hebrew Israelites or whoever else are calling for separation and calling for land here in the midst of an open and sworn enemy. You know, I have no idea. You know,
Rosewood.
It's ridiculous because, you know, as they say, of all your studies, history should be best qualified to reward your research. Look at the history. Right now, when we had some places where we could call our own and did well amongst ourselves, those places were destroyed. Rosewood, Tulsa, by Caucasians, mean-spirited, evil, and jealous Caucasians. Okay.
Jealous. There you go.
Know, even contemporary with places like the model cities that put expressways into thriving black communities, especially like Raleigh, Durham.
About Philadelphia.
Move in Philadelphia. Bombed about two or three blocks.
Drop the bomb on a black man.
Yeah.
That's how sick we are. A black man ordered the dropping of a bomb on his own people when it was a situation where all you had to do was just take time and be patient and whatever. You drop a bomb on your own people. And the thing is, you allowed to walk the street among your people after doing that treacherous, traitorous act. That's how sick we are. See, we don't want to admit our sickness. We don't want to admit how much we love the white man and how we ain't never going to do nothing to the white man. You know what I mean? That's just the blatant fact of the matter. A white man can do basically whatever he wants to a black man, and 90% of the black men are not going to do anything in retaliation towards what the white man do to them but accept. It's that plain and simple. Why? Because two things. You don't want to be caged and you don't want to die. Now, basically, after a white man basically do whatever he do to you, you only have one other option in my world. You got to extract revenge. There's nothing else in my world. That's how I think about it. That's why I'm a firm believer in you leave people alone. You don't want nobody.
Well, my thing is, Jay, is that we go home. We get out. We develop leadership of men and women who understand that we're dealing with an open and sworn enemy, and there is no compromise. There is.
Well, we don't have that
else.
Type of leadership.
I know we don't at this time, but we're going to develop it. I'm confident we're going to develop it. Now,
yeah.
I know I would hate to make my transition. And I hope it's way down the road, although I do have more years behind me than I have ahead of me. I'm damn near 70. But I would love to see, as I'm about to make that transition, that we're moving in that direction, that we're moving in a direction where African people are going to reclaim, recapture, and restore our glory. We're going to do it for ourselves because it is our only salvation. But what are some of the impediments? What are some of the problems? Number one, the damn religion we got that has been imposed upon us. Christianity makes us messed up in the mind. Islam, another one.
Islam too.
Another one. Islam, all of them. All of them. Islam, no, Christianity particularly, because it's an individualistic religion. Oh, I'm blessed and I'm highly favored. You know, it's my salvation. It's individual. I'm saved. It's a damn fallacy. It's bullshit. It's a fallacy.
Sugar, honey, iced tea.
Yep, sugar, honey,
that's
iced tea.
It is.
It's sugar, honey,
but,
iced tea.
Let me ask you this. Let me ask you this. When you speak about religion, how do you see with this pandemic and the way things have been, how do you see that pork chop chicken eating institution surviving? You know, it amazes me how they evolved to the point to where as they have used technology to really keep that money train going, man. I mean, it's quite interesting. I was talking with a family member the other day, and the fool told me that he hasn't been to church in over a year and how his soul is hurting and blah, blah, blah. And I asked him one question, are you still sitting in your tithe? He said, yes, faithfully. I said, I hear you, bro. I hear you. And after that, I stayed on the phone with him for another 2 minutes, and then I just hung up on his dumb ass. That's all.
It's a shame.
It was amazing. He said, my soul.
Yeah.
My soul. And I mean, Oshi, the way he said it was like he was preaching to me, and I was cracking. I wanted to just go off on him, but he's a little bit of an elder, so
well,
I have
I
to
mean,
show love to him. Well, but he said, Oshi, listen, he said, my soul is not being fulfilled because I can't hear the word. Yeah. And I was like, unbelievable.
Yeah, well, you know,
I was like
I said.
I mean, it was crazy.
You know, you know, I'm a lay person like you are, brother Jay. And we study, we read, we try to comprehend all the dynamics that are going on. But it becomes very clear to me, the only salvation for African people is on the continent of Africa, a united continent of Africa. The only salvation for African people is they do for themselves. They work together.
Yep.
They develop the infrastructure. They develop the roads, the highways, the railroads, the ports, the hospitals, the schools, towns and villages. The only way for us is that way. Other, anything else? No. There is no other and no, there is no working with Caucasians, working with Chinese, mm-hmm. working with others. We appreciate the Chinese for what they have done, but then again, we got to look at them on the side eye. Look what they've done in Zambia. They now have that land, they have that airport, and they put a military force in it. I'm saying that,
well,
none of that stuff that
Umar
happens.
Umar Johnson, your great friend, one of those bushmouth Negroes who you enjoy and like, he was on the Breakfast Club talking about the Asian is about to become the new honorary white man.
Yeah. Oh, that's an old piece, because that happens with the Chinese, with the Japanese.
No, this is a new piece. It's a
hold on, because he was talking
about the bill.
Jay, hold on. I'm saying that's an old piece. I understand what you're saying right now. It's a new piece, but it's an old piece because, once again, the depletion of Caucasians because of negative population growth, they want to maintain some kind of, and so they have honor. They make the Japanese honorary Caucasians, if you remember that.
Right.
Number one, because the Japanese, having had a bomb dropped on their ass by the United States, have two bombs. I ain't talking about no percussion bombs. I'm talking about nuclear bombs dropped on their ass, and they were totally devastated. And then, of course, they began to rebuild, and then they began to rebuild to such a degree that it became economic power that they became, and dealing in auto industry, dealing in electronics and other areas and so forth, they became honorary whites. They were one of the first countries outside of Caucasians to be a part of the G group, G, whatever it was, eight. I don't think now it's like G16 or 12, I don't know the hell it is, but those are the groups G12. That's like G12, is that what it is? Those are the groups that were just like the, to me, just like the Berlin Conference. These mothers are just like the Berlin Conference. They talk about what's going on the planet and how we manipulate it and how we make it a benefit for us. They divide it up and how we make it a benefit for us. I can give less than a rat's ass about them, you know?
Yeah, but this was something.
Okay.
This was a continuation or something new that Brother Umar was talking about based on the fact that he was saying how Biden's been in the office and then, you know, what he first did was for the transgenders, and now he made the COVID-19 bill in regards to protecting the Chinese, but that he hasn't done nothing for Black. I gotta watch the interview. It's probably up on YouTube. I'll probably check it out a little later.
Well, you look
but
at
the point of the matter is we the only people that allow other ethnic groups to come into our place and set up shop and then dominate it.
Yeah.
And we gotta stop that, man. What? It's just like you said earlier, or was said earlier, we need to use the skills that we have here to go to a place that's developing now, like Tanzania, and just blow it out. Just not one country.
I'm talking about I'm talking about regional and so forth, continent wide. The bottom line is, you know, what Umar Johnson was probably talking about is the fact that South Korea is an economic power. Obviously, China and the entities within China are economically strong, along
he
with the Japanese.
India.
You know. Well, yeah, India.
He also
talked
about India, who is becoming the next major power, with the one thing that the America also fears is the people. And he was saying that was one of the reasons why Kamala Harris was elected, is to try and solidify relationship with India so that their relationship with Russia and China isn't solidified. And knowing the nature of the white man, I kind of agree with him on that one. Because, I mean, it's only beneficial that America uses the Indians before the Chinese and the Russians use them. Because, hey, I can't call certain companies without me getting the red dot on the phone, where I can't even understand the red dot.
I mean, I'm telling you, I hate that.
It just aggravates me.
It is. It's very aggravating.
It's beyond aggravating.
I've gone through it a few times. Demanded to speak to a manager or a supervisor that spoke more clear English so I could make my point and get my point across.
I tell them to get me an American. Get me an American on the phone. I mean, I say, get me an American on the phone. The Indian said, I'm an American.
Yeah.
He probably could be. Get the F off my phone. He said, I'm an American. I cracked up and told him, if you don't get off my effing phone, red dot, oh, man. I don't know who hung up, me or him, but I know the call was.
Well, the bottom line is that at this stage, it does not look good for African people if we do not change our mindset, if we not change our behavior. Like I said, you know, this workshop on Saturday with Brother Manua Pym, and he's been talking about this for quite some time. You know, stop all these lectures, all these meetings. Folks get all the money, just a lecture here, lecture there. No, let's do some work, a workshop model. Make some people accountable to do this, that, or the other. Let's begin to, to change this dynamic and form work groups that will have a task and that has to be done at a certain time and so forth and how it should be done. We need to change this dynamic. We need to get Africans in the diaspora, that includes us, over to the continent to work with Africans on the continent to change the dynamic. If that country, whatever that country is in its leadership, does not do it in benefit of the people, and they don't want to give that up, we have to force them. We got to
there has to be a strategic partnership with those in this country that have the skill set to go back home. And you know, I always look at it this way, OC, to be honest with you. And just think about this right quick. Most of our people live a life consisted of this. Getting up in the morning, maybe having breakfast, going to work for the white man, coming back home, doing whatever they gonna do, sitting in front of the TV or the computer, then going to bed. Why can't an African country provide those type of same luxuries to take our people over there to use the skill set to build up hope?
Well, I mean, listen, think about it. You can live a mundane life anywhere, okay?
That's what doing I'm saying.
All right, doing those same thing. I understand what you're saying. But, you know, we need brothers and sisters who are saying, you know, I don't give a damn about the television, the sport. You know, I've often said, you know, I know sports. I played sports. I boxed. I played football. I played basketball. I coached. I mean, all that stuff. I know sports. But I give all that sugar, honey, iced tea up in a hot second. For African liberation, if they said that you could have African liberation,
what I'm saying is you could have liberation and you could have all of those things doing what you do here back home.
There's no doubt about that, Jay.
There's no real difference. Right. The only difference is you're one place working for the devil, and you're someplace else working for your people. You know what I mean? But that's the basic. That's the basic reality. I mean, just think about what could happen if you get together 100 people with the right skill set, took them back home and gave them those same, you know, luxuries that they have here, and do what has to be done to build up a country, because you basically caught up in a brainwashed mindset of your existence in America to work not for yourself, but to work for the white man and the upliftment. It's just like going to work at Amazon. You working to get a few dollars to make this white man richer and richer. I mean, it's just the psychology and the brainwash that one has. That's why I always say to anyone, I figured it out. When I figured out that I could make money and not work, that was the greatest gift that I ever achieved. When I figured out that, you know, I could do certain things to make my income a certain way where I could have the basic necessities and do the things that I wanted to do, I was a happy man. I stopped working for the white man at that time. And I haven't had to in a long, long period of time. You know what I mean? And I look comfortable with it. So, I mean, the bottom line is we have to change our mindset on are we working for our oppressor or are we working for our people, and do we do it here or do we do it home? Because believe me, there's a lot of people out of work who have given the opportunity to, let's say, go to Tanzania and be able to apply their trade and build up a place like Tanzania and have the same type luxuries that they have here. I think they would do it. Well, why can't the government provide that?
Let me say this. I think that you know, whether this government, the United States government, or Western governments, France, Britain, and so forth, would do something like that, I doubt it. But let me say this. Regardless, we must make that move. There is no ifs, ands, or buts about it. If we are to be a people who are self-determining, who are liberated, who are sovereign, it's the only move that we can make. But if we want to continue to work for somebody or put our our safety, our lives in the hands of an open and sworn enemy, if we want to continue with that madness, you're going to get what you deserve.
Do it ever dawn on you that maybe black people don't really want sovereignty? Does it ever dawn on you that black people don't want to be in a position to where as they are under the thumb of the white man? Do that ever dawn on you? Because that's what the real reality is, if the truth be told. Well, black people love being under the thumb of the white man. They love chasing after what the white man has and feeling that they are part of the system and that white people at one day is going to love and going to treat them fairly and all of that. That's all black people do is chase the acceptance of white people in this country.
And because we've been because we've been trained to do so.
Well,
you know, we've been trained to do so. We've been trained to hit it. When you have hundreds of years of training about
indoctrination.
And deep indoctrination that you hate your hair, very seldom even to now, even though we started wearing fros and coming together, the 60s were a pivotal time. And yet, once again, we got bamboozled in believing that somehow those 60s, you know, as they came into the 70s, that we would share equally with this country, would be treated fairly, would be judged fairly. Because we didn't understand how important for us to kick that madness to the curb and do for ourselves. We didn't understand that. We figured, and also too, you know, affirmative action came in. You know, I got hired in the 70s on the fire department through affirmative action. Affirmative action swept across the country, mostly in public sector jobs, because in the private sector, they still had the opportunity to discriminate or hire whoever they wanted to hire, and they still do. But now even the public sector, AJ, even the public sector, most fire departments, I can't speak to the police department, but I do know the fire department, having been a firefighter for over 30 years, most other fire departments in major cities today are predominantly Caucasian, predominantly white.
And how is that? That's what I don't understand.
Because they ended affirmative action. They ended affirmative action, and they began to hire as they hired back in the 40s, 50s, and 60s. That's what happened. They were trying to push this idea that the American system is a meritocracy, and that every person that applies is their own merit. What school do they go to? This, that, and another. This is bull.
Yeah.
This is bull. You know it. I know it. And hell, they know it. But yet,
they know it.
But yet, this is what has happened. And so in major cities across this country, which are predominantly people of color within that city, also, too, a lot of those cities lost residency. That you had to be a resident, because Caucasians, just like Milwaukee, Caucasians, when I first came on the job in 76, Caucasians were hated the fact that they had affirmative action, and they hated the fact that they had to live in the city, because the city was rapidly coming more of us. When I came on, it was the number was 14%. Well, we were already about 20%. Now, African Americans are comprised of over 40% of the city of Milwaukee, but yet we're only 10% or less than 10% on the fire department. The same as Chicago. The same as Chicago. The same as Philadelphia. And your city is really pathetic.
Oh, yeah. No question.
New York is really pathetic.
They fought hard. They fought, the Balkans fought real hard in this city. And even had a little bit of help from the court.
Yes.
In regard to the systemic racism.
Well, 9/11
department, but it still hasn't helped. You know why it hasn't helped? Because all things stay the same over time, because they wear you down to the point to where as they just keep it at a certain balance.
That's why.
And they don't let it get past that balance. And they always tell you, oh, no, we doing this, we doing that.
That's why we have to change the direction. That's why we have to change the direction. Not believing that somehow, some way, and wearing them down that things will become better. Hell with that. Let's do for ourselves. Brother Jay, I got to go, man. It's my time to go.
Have a good one, black you, man.
You too, dear brother. Jay, thank you, man, and for all those who Please. Listen. I had a number of people on there, but nobody hit star twice to engage in this conversation. But you feel me, and I know you do, and I know my brothers and sisters out there do, because I'm you and you're me. This is our feeling as African people, particularly those who would listen to a program like this, because there's a lot of us who don't want to hear a program like this. They don't want to hear it because we've been trained to reject it. There's a fear in us. I got to go. Be with us on Wednesday, brothers and sisters. Our brother Franklin Jones will be my guest on Wednesday. And so please, I know Jay will be listening. Brother Franklin Jones, the Black People Matrix. Brothers and sisters, we end this program like we end all of our programs with the words of Stephen Biko. The most potent weapon in the hands of the oppressor is the minds of the oppressed. This program is dedicated and committed to helping to free the African mind. But not just the M-I-N-D, but the M-I-N-E, because under the feet of African people lies all of the resources that everybody wants, think they can't do without, and they sure in hell don't want to pay for. Brothers and sisters, let's get together and go home and manage that. We are rich. We are rich in so many ways. Let us take advantage of that. Let us come together and manage the resources, manage the people. Learn to love and respect one another. Let's do it. Shem Hotep means go in peace. Asante Sana means thank you. Bibi Fahodie. Bibi Fahodie means our victorious destiny. Brothers and sisters, we will be victorious. Peace, family. You have a blessed and wonderful day. Hope to see you on Wednesday.